Now, when my children were at school in Steeple Bumpstead, they had a fabulous class teacher, Mrs. Kingston, who ran an after-school gardening club. They had a really big patch in the playground and they grew all sorts of things. And sometimes she ran cookery classes afterwards to cook up whatever they happened to have grown. Do any of you kids have clubs like that after school? I know you don't. Anybody? No? Yes, what do you have? Does anyone have any gardening clubs? Does anybody do any gardening at home? Yes, yes. I know you do, Pat. Does anybody have forest school? Yes. Yeah, I know you do. What do you do in your forest school?
We do lots of rolling down hills and playing with water and running through the grass.
And that's just the grown-ups. And at secondary school, my kids' secondary school, they had a proper farm. A proper farm with pigs, sheep, cows, horses. Well, you know me, I love a good prop. I love to bring in a good prop. So today, I'm not bringing in a hunky fireman, if anyone remembers that. I'm not bringing in a guide dog. But I have blown the budget. Ready? Don't say I don't treat you well. Well, whatever you might think about vegetables, and I know not all kids like to eat them, maybe not all even adults like to eat them, but they really are quite remarkable. Those of you who do garden, you know that when you pull a carrot out the ground, at the bottom, there is something like a little bit of a tail. Now, this is quite short. I'm very grateful to Pat because Pat brought it, and you've no idea how hard it is to find a carrot with a tail. But this isn't a tail, is it? It's a root. Now, I know they do look a bit plain and a bit dull, and normally they'd be a bit muddy, but thank you, Pat, for washing it. But they are incredibly important for the plant. Would anybody like to tell me what the root does? I can't hear you. Anybody stick the hand up and tell me what a root does, particularly if it's a kid. Huh? It feeds it. Anything else? Thank you. It stabilizes it. So yes, it takes up through the water all the elements that it needs to make it grow. And yes, it is also an anchor which stops it wobbling around. Has anyone done any weeding? Silly question, really. Of course you've done weeding. Of course you've done weeding. In which case, you'll know that sometimes weeds come out easier than others, don't they? If it's something like a dandelion, you're screwed, really. Yeah, they can be really difficult to pull out, and that's because the root has grown either very, very deep or very, very strong. If it doesn't have a good root, it will wither and die. Now, in different parts of the world, we see all sorts of ways that plants adapt to their environment so that they not only survive, but they thrive. Can I have the first slide, Jonathan, please? Well, these are mangroves. These are mangrove trees from the tropics. Aren't they amazing? Quite extraordinary. These thin trees are closely packed together and have tangled their roots together into enormous knots. And this makes sure, of course, that none of them fall over, and they can take up water through their shared root systems. Next one, Jonathan. Well, I think these are even more extraordinary. Where there isn't enough land for them to sink their roots into, they've anchored themselves together and spread their roots deep into the water itself. Quite extraordinary. Some desert plants have roots so tough and so strong that they can grow 25 meters long down to find the water beneath the surface. And there's a type of fig tree, I've seen these, in South Africa, whose roots go down at least 120 meters. And to give you a term of reference, that's the size of a 40-story building. Where am I going with this, you may well ask. I think you can see how incredibly important roots are for all plants, however big, however small. The Bible tells us that when we put our trust in God, then we are being given strong roots, which are all based upon love. And God's love gives us all the nourishment that we need. When we tangle our roots with other Christian people, we hold each other up and support each other. We can share our knowledge and understanding and generally learn how to cooperate with each other. The Bible also teaches us that God's love, which is working within us, is powerful and able to do far more than we could ever imagine. I wonder what plant each one of us would choose to be. Flower? A tree? Vegetable? A cactus? There's a whole world for you to choose from. Just remember to put down those roots. The band is now going to sing. And before they do, let's just pray for the children before they leave for their clubs. We will then let them go. Our loving parent God, we thank you for the many children in our church here, and thank you for the many blessings that they bring to us all. Thank you for the team that organizes their teaching every week and that carefully nurture our young people, helping them to put down those deep roots. We ask for your continued blessing over each and every one. Amen. This morning I would like to continue looking at growing strong roots and how important they are for all of us if we want to develop our Christian faith. For when we do, we are better able to love God, love others, and be filled with the very nature of who God is. Deep roots will inevitably help us when times hit hard. Today's New Testament reading was written by Paul to the people of Ephesus, which is, of course, now modern-day Turkey. And he was writing whilst under house arrest in Rome. He'd been arrested and imprisoned for causing rebellion amongst the Jews, and he knew he would very likely be found guilty and killed. Nevertheless, he wanted to send a letter of encouragement to the new Christian communities in Ephesus. Don't we all need encouragement from time to time? And it was no different then. There were no church buildings, there was no systems, no structures in place to support each other in their fledgling faith. And the new disciples also lived in fear that they too could be imprisoned and assassinated. Paul was able to offer this invaluable love and encouragement because he was certain beyond any shadow of a doubt that God was in total control of all that happened to him. That is real faith. In these troubled and turbulent times, we too need to find faith like that. In verse 3 of today's reading, Paul said that God revealed his secret plan and made it known to him. What he was meaning was that he was developing a church where Jews and Gentiles were to worship together equally to the one true God. He said this, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of his promise in Christ Jesus through the good news. Well, it sounds obvious to us now, but then Jews and Gentiles simply didn't mix, and it had been that way for many hundreds of years. Yet here Paul was saying very clearly that that day was done. It was over. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, there was a new creation. In Christ, we are one. He writes in Galatians 3, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Well, that sounds so simple, doesn't it? Well, apparently not. In over 2,000 years, it seems that we're not hugely further forward in understanding that we are all equal in God's eyes. But how much simpler can it be? Have you heard the expression, "No man is an island"? Anyone? Some think it comes from the Bible or Shakespeare, but no, it was said by the 17th century English author and dean of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, John Donne. In a very memorable sermon, he said this, "No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main." He was saying really beautifully how connected human beings are to each other and how important that connection is for the well-being and survival of everyone. None of us were ever intended to live alone, although many do, sometimes by choice and sometimes by default. And trying to follow the Christian faith entirely by ourselves is extremely difficult. We do need each other. Everyone is unique, of course, and not everyone necessarily gets on perfectly with everyone else. Yet there is great treasure in that. It is not our sameness that makes us a strong community of faith, but our great diversity. If rooted in love, then when different personalities and traditions blend together, we can not only learn to be tolerant of each other, but learn from each other. Earlier, I was talking to the younger people about the importance of roots. Yeah, roots serve several purposes. We know that. They keep us firmly tethered. They help us to support each other. And I'd like to take it a bit further, if I may. I know there's a lot of really well-travelled people in this room today, so I'd like to ask, has anyone been to California? Yes, 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 yes. What about New Zealand? Anyone? Yeah. Jonathan, can I have the first set of images, please? Well, famously, these places grow the amazing giant redwood trees. And although there are a number of them really growing well in the UK, this is where they all began. They're the biggest trees in the world. They grow to an average height. Do you want meters or feet? Feet. You can have both. They grow to an average of 50 to 85 meters, 165 to 275 feet, with trunk diameters ranging from 6 to 8 meters, that's what, from the wall to roughly where Derek's sitting, and 30 stories high, wide enough to drive a truck through. They're also amongst the oldest living organisms on Earth. The oldest being, approximately 3,200 years old. So long there, they were there long before Christ. But these tall trees have no tap roots. They only grow down roots about 10 feet. Well, that doesn't make any sense, really, does it? But they are the biggest and oldest trees on Earth. How do they do that? Well, they may have very shallow roots, and if those trees were spread out from each other, they would fall over very easily. Well, they'd never get that tall, would they? One strong wind, one bump, one big push, and over they would go. But no, they grow close together, close enough together so that their roots can twist together with all the other trees, many other trees, and they are in a tight weave. Well, maybe you can see where I'm going with this, but hang on, there's more. Next time you're walking through the woods, consider what lies beneath the soil, beneath the leaves, beneath the moss. Underneath the forest floor, intertwined with those roots of the trees, connected to them, is a fascinating microscopic network of fungus. Darwin, well, we all know Darwin, don't we? Since then, we've generally thought of trees as striving but disconnected loners, competing for water, nutrients, and sunlight, with the winners shading out the losers and sucking them dry. Well, that's certainly what I was taught at school. But there is now a substantial body of scientific evidence that refutes that idea completely. It shows instead that trees of the same species are communal and will often form alliances with trees of other species. Forest trees have evolved to live in cooperative, interdependent relationships, maintained by communication and a collective intelligence similar to an insect colony. These soaring columns of living wood draw the eye up to their upspreading crowns, but the real action is taking place underground, just a few inches below their feet. Next one, please. You may have heard the fairly new term, the wood wide web. All trees in every forest that's not too damaged are connected to each other through fungal networks. They share water and nutrients through these networks, but incredibly, they use them to communicate. They send distress signals about drought and disease or insect attacks, and then those trees change their behavior when they receive those messages. They are called mycorrhizal networks. The fine hair ends to those root tips, just like on the carrot, but more, join together with those microscopic fungal filaments. Microscopic, you know where I'm going. To form the basic links of the network, which appear to operate in a symbiotic way, or even an exchange of information. To communicate through the network, trees send chemical, hormonal, and slow pulsing electrical signals, which scientists are just beginning to decipher. At the University of Lausanne in Switzerland, they've been studying these electrical impulses and have identified a voltage-based signaling system very similar to the animal nervous system. Very similar. Or they are not suggesting that plants have neurons or brains. The University of Western Australia has gathered evidence that some plants may also emit and detect sounds, in particular a crackling noise at the frequency of 220 hertz, inaudible to humans. Does that mean plants can hear each other? as science reveals more about nature and the staggering complexity of it, I often sense my own ignorance and blindness peeling away. I'd never really looked at trees like this or thought about life from their perspective. I thought I knew how trees grew, but I was wrong. Humans are apparently the top of the food chain. But how ignorant are we? How much more has nature got to teach us? Quite a few years ago, I remember the then Prince Charles being ridiculed for talking to the trees. It's not such a daft idea now, is it? Through strong roots, through constant communication with each other, forests grow ridiculously tall trees which can stand strong. They can resist disease and know when they are being attacked and then retaliate. They share water and nutrients with each other. They live in cooperative, interdependent relationships maintained by good communications and a collective intelligence, as I said earlier, like an insect colony. Well, this is all new science, and how fascinating it is. What more will we learn, and what can we learn from it today? And you knew I'd get back to it eventually. Well, we all need to have strong roots in our faith, both as individuals and equally importantly, together as our church family. Modern life is keeping people isolated and often lonely. Technology is determining how we live, and more people are finding they've got no reason to leave home. For many, their world is getting smaller. We may come to church on a Sunday, but our faith will get bigger, stronger, more powerful if we see ourselves as part of a much bigger picture. Paul wanted his listeners to understand that they didn't live in a vacuum. They were part of something much greater, and the love of Christ within them would reach beyond their wildest imaginations. And so the same is true for us. Look around the room. Do you know everyone here? Do you know what goes on behind the scenes? Behind a church Sunday. There are so many teams that work here to make things happen, and I'm going to whistle through them. The property is cared for, including buying a new home for our minister and his family. Sarah runs youth services here and in schools. Claire facilitates all the children's work. Janet and Mick have developed a community club called Young at Heart. Open Mind is a community mental health service. The cafe next door is ours and has served this community for decades. The stewards help this church to function. The music group rehearse and perform. There are prayer groups, house groups, a huge pastoral care team. There's the new men's coffee club, and beyond these walls, so many more teams make things happen. We work closely with other churches in this town, with Haverhill and District Churches together, collaborating, communicating, and creating visible community events, such as the Easter Walk of Witness through the town. At Christmas, we run activities for families trying to do something different each year. This year, we're having a nativity parade right through the town, right through the centre of town with lots of animals. We do things on the Market Square, Harvest Festival, and then there's the Knife Angel, which is coming in September, and hopefully there'll be more on that another time. I know it is likely that I've missed out teams by accident, and please don't take offence if I have. The point I'm trying to make is that there are many, many teams working for God in this place, teams who have pushed down strong roots of faith, collaborating with each other through our common faith in a God who is pure love. Our faith is a team game. Strong roots, grounded in love, bind us together. We have a strong foundation, and everyone here is welcome to join in. Paul said, to be grounded in love is to comprehend how broad and long, how high and how deep is Christ's love, that we may come to know his love and so be completely filled with the very nature of God. When we bind our roots together deeply, we become part of the bigger picture, and then the love of Christ can reach us beyond our wildest imaginations. When we bind our roots together in our shared faith, we are stronger to love extravagantly. When we include and love people different to ourselves, with people who experience different ways of worship, who have different traditions, then we can learn from each other. There's a whole big world out there. I just want to finish with this. Put down your roots and grow with us. Be part of the bigger picture in this church and within our wider community. And remember what Paul said. The days of division between people has gone. There is a new creation made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The old boundaries have been taken down. And to repeat as I finish, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen.